Well, hello, friends. Welcome back. We've reached number 50, our 50th program in the second part of the Rays and Initiations webinar commentaries. And we have been speaking about many interesting things recently about the process of invocation and evocation in relation to the New World religion, and the way the Antikorana, being the prototypal technique of invocation and evocation in the human meditator, will be related very much to the advent and development of the New World religion. All right, let's see if I can get this straight. I've got a little webinar coming up, so I hope to be able to speak through this in simply an hour. Christ came to represent the ideal man for humanity, and the Christ consciousness, this became the goal for humanity, and it will change drastically the meaning of religion from a general Atlantean emotional appeal to a more scientific, mentally polarized appeal to the soul and even to higher sources among those who can reach those sources. Now, let us proceed with number 50. And remember, all of these can be found on Makara. Makara.us, www.makara.us, and you'll be able to study them, and eventually, thanks to the kindness of an individual and her team, we're going to have these transcribed as well. And a lot of what I've been forced to put on video commentary will be also transcribed for your easier assimilation. So, continuing with the idea of the New World religion and the Christ and the various teachers, the activity of all previous teachers and demonstrating sons of God, interesting phrase, because the sons of God have to, on occasion, show that they are sons, radiant examples of divinity, became only the presentation of the various aspects of divine perfection in which the Christ summarized in himself. He is, after all, the eldest of a great family of brothers, and he has somehow synthesized all these various perfections. What a huge accomplishment. You know, he and the Buddha, in terms of our modern teachers, are becoming a seventh degree initiates, and this is ahead of even the high initiates who are the Chohans and the heads of the various ashrams. But he did far more than just this. Had this been all he accomplished, he would have presented to humanity a picture of a static achievement, a culmination of perfection such as the evolutionary status of man at that time demanded. He would have given us, in fact, a figure of very great, but at the same time, arrested development. So obviously we're going to say he pointed the way to future development. And this whole idea of arrested development, that a particular religion is all there is to say about man's relationship to the whole and to divinity, is preposterous, it's ludicrous, and it is believed by millions with disastrous result. Anyway, it would have been a great summation, but we would not be able to go further. And the whole thing about the occultism of the ageless wisdom is it points the way towards endless achievement. So any kind of presentation of a final development or arrested development was not possible. DK says this was, of course, impossible, but the religion which he founded has never recognized this fact, or considered what lay beyond the Christ, beyond Christ, what was the nature of his subjective background, and what was his point of achievement, excuse me, and whether he still had other possibilities. Well, you know, he is presented as the eternally perfect Son of God, who probably cannot improve, and this takes away the whole idea of evolution, which is indispensable for an understanding of true spiritual occultism. Well, says D.K., excuse me, this was perhaps an unavoidable omission, owing to the fact that the idea of evolution was unknown until relatively late in the human consciousness. We can say that the initiates knew about it, but it had not reached humanity as a whole. And there is one that we can use as a whole. Okay. Orthodox religion has been preoccupied with an emotional and aspirational approach to this figure of perfection, and we might almost say this figure of static perfection, for whom further evolution is impossible. But that's just the product of a limited point of view, and so many billions even suffer from it. It had not looked beyond the figure to the reality which he represents. We might say that Buddhism is not guilty of this particular type of ignorance. The Christ himself foresaw as a possibility and sought to obviate when he pointed out to his disciples that they could do greater things than he had done, and because he was going to the Father, and this implies the reality of evolution. He, in these words, pointed beyond himself to the one who was responsible for his being. Is this Sanat Kumara or something still greater? And to the way of the higher evolution, a subject with which the Church has never satisfactorily dealt. You know, it takes someone of the great mental power of a Master D.K. To explain such eventualities. They really lie beyond the ken of even the intelligent churchman, and even today such distant possibilities of evolution are not being considered. In the above words, he indicates a state of being which he had never demonstrated on earth, owing to the unpreparedness of man and also to the fact that he himself was only on the way, so he was a becoming initiate of the sixth degree, and then once achieved of the seventh becoming. So and of course the Christ would speak proportionately. Christ would speak proportionately, as Master Moria says, being aware of what his audience could receive. Otherwise it's useful, and he would be doing a version of that casting pearls before a swine. We would be the swine, and we would not be able to understand. So there's so many things D.K. might say to us, even today, we wouldn't understand. So he has to give something to us that is at least reachable, given our present state of consciousness, and so did the Christ, which is why he spoke often in parables, because it was in the language which the people of the time could understand. He's not going to waste his breath, obviously. The way of the higher evolution has also its two phases, as has the lighted way. That's interesting here, how we contrast this. The lighted way is the earlier way. In the early stages of the unfoldment of the Christ consciousness and in the attainment of the third initiation, the transfiguration, the aspirant and initiate disciple, let us say the probationary initiate disciple, pass along the first part of the path of discipleship. Note that even up to the third degree, we call it the path of discipleship. In the treading of the way of higher evolution, for which we have as yet only this somewhat cumbersome name, the initiate disciple, still the disciple, really, and of course the initiate by this time, treads the way of Antikorana and the way of the higher initiations. I haven't registered that so carefully, but this is very interesting that he calls it the way of Antikorana. That's a really memorable kind of phrase. And I just want to say that it is memorable, and I want to remember it. Remember this, the way of Antikorana, which, well, it leads to the end, you know, the end in this universe, but then universes are ongoing cyclically. And the way of the higher initiations, at least these are two phases of the path, we might say. And who knows how far this way of higher evolution goes in its particulars. I mean, obviously, it transcends our solar system and our local cosmic logos, and, you know, it reaches to the Pleiades and beyond. It just doesn't stop. So, in the above words, he states, being, he never demonstrated this on earth. No, he could not. The way of the higher evolution has also its two phases, as has the lighted way. Well, I wonder if he's spoken about these yet. In making this statement, I would again remind you that the third initiation is regarded by the hierarchy as the first major initiation. You know, we call this the first solar initiation, whilst the two previous initiations are considered only preparatory in their nature, and these are what we've been calling initiations of the threshold. The training given in preparation for them and the consequent expansions of consciousness reveal to the initiate the nature of the soul. And we still have plenty to learn here, for sure. There is still very much to learn of the soul and its secrets. Capricorn and the secrets of the soul. The scope, widespread and universal, of the divine consciousness and his relation to the Father, the monad. But it's really, it is monad that really treads the way of higher evolution. They enable him to become the soul in manifestation to such an extent that his awareness is definitely and unalterably of the soul. So we might say that the first part of the path, the part of the path preceding the way of higher evolution, allows or makes it possible that the man will become a living and expressive soul in incarnation. Soul in incarnation. At the fourth initiation, the soul body, the causal body, is no longer needed. It represents, we could hardly believe it, but it represents an impediment. And then it disappears, dissipates, and is entirely destroyed, eventually by the fifth, I guess, thus leaving the initiate free to tread the way of the higher evolution and to follow in the footsteps of the Christ, who is certainly now treading the way of the higher evolution. He was the first of our planetary humanity, the humanity which was individualized on this on this globe, which was individualized on this globe to blaze the trail. Is not that a phrase much used to the higher spheres of revelation? So let's see what we've got here. Individualized, INDZD, and we'll individualized. Okay. So he blazed the trail. He set the standard for our achievement. He moved ahead faster than any because the power of love was so great in him. And we do have a planet with a second-ray soul and a solar logos with a second-ray soul, so the resonance was very strong. One of my friends joked that, well, Christ, he had a good solar angel, as if we could have a bad one, or one not quite up to snuff. But I'm sure there are individual differences in the solar angels, too. But so much is left entirely to our willpower, precisely to our willpower, and to our sense of time and our willingness to sacrifice lesser things for greater. I would here also remind you that during this stage of human evolution, all of these various phases exist simultaneously. It's not that humanity is moving along precisely together. There are people at all the different stages. All the initiate ranks are filled, or at least have representatives. This largely accounts for the relative differences and difficulties which characterize all the religions of the world and all relationships. We might say some religions emphasize different parts of the great path. And in my view, okay, I'm going to put that in there, too, if you don't mind. In my view, Buddhism tends to offer higher possibilities, generally. Tends to offer penetration into higher levels of possibility than some other religions. Of course, when we deal with the mystical parts, but when dealing with the mystical aspects of various religions, penetration is quite deep in all cases. But then there's the popular approach to religion, which definitely limits the type of presentation given. Emotional appeal is needed by the masses, so we have to have it, you know. And if you go to the people who are still characterized by the mass consciousness and you try to teach them what occultism is, they're not ready for it, and they will, maybe rightly, reject it until they understand the foundational predecessor or predecessors of the higher approach on which they are working. I mean, they're working on the predecessors. So emotional appeal is needed by the masses and their goal some way ahead, and we don't know how far ahead, is soul consciousness and soul control, but I suspect it's, when dealing with the masses, some thousands of years. It is the mystical way, you know, the way of sort of divine duality. There is I, and there is what I'm striving for, that duality, God, whatever you want to call it. It is the mystical way and the way of early and preparatory stages of the science of invocation and evocation. So, you know, in the science or with regard to this science, man must yearn. And let me put that in there, with regard to, okay. Man must yearn. And this yearning can take a long time. In the sixth ray age, it's been unusually facilitated, but we have to remember that even though from one cyclic point of view, the sixth ray is going to be ending by the, in its appearance by the end of this particular century, pretty much, or early on into the next, we're told it still has 21,000 years to run in a larger cycle, which is part of a still greater fourth ray cycle. So won't the science of cycles and understanding it be a fascinating study, a fascinating learning? So this is the, it is the method to be followed by average humanity at this time, because men are largely Atlantean in their approach. You know, we wonder, did Atlantis ever end, really? And their natures, emotionally polarized or polarized in Camelomanus. Either emotionally polarized or polarized in Camelomanus. And there's a nice KM for us, which should mean Camelomanus, that union of the two aspects, which is neither true mentality nor is it true Kama, the true and pure emotion. They must learn to tread the path by becoming the path itself. This all lies in the future, and the Christ's reappearance will greatly facilitate. And in this way, develop the mechanism and the capacities which are inherent in the divine mind, which, quote, spins the thread of connecting light, sounds very Mercurian, and relates all beings within the planetary ring past not to itself. This is a very Mercurian. And very related to the third ray. So the mass of humanity still has some way to go before what we as disciples of the great ones take for granted in our approach becomes their normal way of approach. And as we speak to people, we have to be very aware of the level of aspiration and desire of the one to whom we are speaking. We may think we're doing a good service by immediately throwing occultism into the conversation, but it can have the effect of rebuffing the individual and blunting the aspiration and confusing and taking away from the kind of aspiration which rightfully belongs to the person we've been speaking to. So it's a very sensitive kind of evaluation which we have to make. By becoming the path, symbolically speaking, you know, we are the path. Well, why are we the path? well, let's put it like this. We are the path because we are an emanation of the One. And all emanations are paths. All emanations are paths. EM would be a good one for emanation, don't you think, if I can do that? And M, how about spelling it correctly? Emanation and EMS. You always want to find your plural. Emanations. I'm putting some new ones in here that I didn't have in my very copious previous abbreviation list. So by becoming the path, symbolically speaking, and by the process of reorientation, you know, refacing the way you descended and ascending and then ascending. So this is refacing the way by which you descended and then ascending. The aspirant who is seeking to tread the lighted way of purification and of discipleship reaches a point where that light and that path have brought him to a specific goal. Oh, you know, there are great opportunities along the path of light. The lighted way of purification, I think that's a nice way of putting it. And, you know, we can't give up purification because there are always higher and higher extents, greater and greater extents to which we can be purified and thus fit to receive still more rapid and subtle vibrations. Then the light, which he has generated from within himself, it's already resident within himself, but it begins to shine through his previously opaque form, and is learning rapidly to use, reveals to him the way of higher evolution. So, you know, this is interesting because when does this light appear? This is the light which the master is able to use from within himself. So it is, you know, at the fifth initiation, at least now, that the way of higher evolution is revealed, the fifth degree. And maybe the way of higher evolution was already trodden by the fifth degree in earlier dispensations, but now it's trodden at the time of the great decision. Everything moves up in its difficulty, and the higher stages of a previous time become more intermediate stages, and a new standard is set. Then the light he has generated from within himself, we might say, or surely a master shines, and is learning rapidly to use. And, you know, it's the greatest light which has descended into the etheric body and is part of his body of fire, reveals to him the way of higher evolution and one of the seven or now nine paths that he will tread. The fact of a still greater goal on ahead is revealed, called by the Christ, the Father's house. And this is shambolic in nature, or even post-shambolic. I think S-H-A-M, interesting, shaman, shambhala, those words. So I'm going to call this, we've got it already. Okay, and there is S-H-A, shambolic. We make up an adjective. And we will also make this a word that is legitimate. At the fourth initiation, he becomes aware for the first time in his experience that there is a hiatus or gap separating him from his distant goal. Well, you know, this is probably not just the monastic permanent Adam, because at the third degree, he has gained some facility with this. So let's see, what is his distant goal? Is it monadship? Is it the ninth initiation? This constituted the major part of the agony upon the cross. Now, this is of the Master Jesus, who was on the cross. The Christ at this time was not on the cross. I think his fourth initiation was taken as Krishna, and his means of death, maybe in that previous time, was via the arrows. Okay, there was a fusion of agonies at that supreme moment, if I might express what occurred. Amazing thought. It's not like the Christ was just standing by while the Master Jesus was crucified, but there was a tremendous co-participation going on here. The Master Jesus crucified there felt the agony of human need and renounced his own life and gave his all, again symbolically, to meet that need. And this is the kind of offering which characterizes the fourth initiation. The Christ at that time overshadowing his great disciple, so very present perhaps in the consciousness of the Master Jesus and somehow participating in what the Master Jesus was going through, also passed simultaneously through a great initiatory experience. And I don't know, you know, before I read it, I say, was this the sixth initiation for which he was prepared by the proper decision in the Garden of Gethsemane? Okay. The agony of his yearning for revelation and increased enlightenment. Interesting. Agony. We said that on the second ray, one agonizes his way towards the goal. It says Gethsemane. Gethsemane. Okay, there we go. That's it. The agony of his yearning for revelation at the sixth degree, for goodness sake, and increased enlightenment in order to enhance his equipment as world savior, revealed to him the new possibilities for which, when confronted with them dimly, interesting, not the total confrontation, that's fascinating, dimly in the Garden of Gethsemane, and later upon the cross, his whole nature shrank. And basically, we are saying that the revelation was so great that the great nature of the Christ shrank back at this revelation. Now, no Christian, believing Christian, will accept this, because the Christ is only divine. He is the one and only Son of God, and he's not a human being who evolved to this high state of sonship. Well, we know the fallacy of the normal presentation. But it's amazing, you know, we think of the Christ as all powerful in the face of any kind of challenge, and then something in his nature shrinks back at the magnitude of the revelation around the sixth degree. And we're told by the Tibetan that as the Christ looks at humanity's condition and what he's going to be entering into as the reappearing Christ, he experiences, I think the Tibetan said, a certain horror. Well, you know, again, this idea goes against what we usually think of when we think of the Christ. But this is a great human being, a transhuman being, one who's gone far beyond the human nature and is really a member of the planetary kingdom. You know, not just a kingdom of souls, but a planetary life. And even so, he can't experience this tremendous agony. So maybe, you know, it even tells us that the planetary logos, when confronting his task, experienced a kind of repulsion and shrinking back, essentially requesting the great Soto Logos for permission not to enter. But uprose the word, we need the presence of an entering God, and so our great Logos accepted, and he didn't particularly like the task, and hence we are told the rebellious nature of those who live and move and have their being within his nature and consciousness. Great as is this mystery to you, and impossible as it is for you to comprehend that whereof I speak, well, at least he gives us a chance, right? He gives us the chance to try to comprehend. It is wise to establish the fact in your consciousness that at the crucifixion initiation, the Master Jesus took the fourth initiation and the Christ took the sixth initiation. So let's just say the acceptance in the garden was preliminary, but not by much, you know. We were just talking about a day, really. You know, somehow after the last supper, these events occurred in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then the very next day, Jesus was crucified. and the Christ was overshadowing him, taking the sixth initiation. The Master Jesus reached the culminating experience of the lighted way. Very important now. So this tells us that the lighted way culminates at the fourth initiation. Whilst the Christ made the final effort, which enabled him entirely to complete and traverse the rainbow bridge and go to the Father, let's just say it is as if the rainbow bridge, RNB. Okay, let's do that one. We'll say RNB, and we'll call it Rainbow Bridge. That this Rainbow Bridge culminates in the monad at the at the sixth initiation, RNB. So I have to do it again, unfortunately. Haste makes waste. Yeah. Okay, replace. Yes. Okay. The Rainbow Bridge culminates in the monad at the sixth initiation, thus moving to the first stage of the way of the higher evolution. It's so difficult for the average Christian to accept the possibility of Christ's evolution ongoingly throughout the universe, as, you know, Almighty God is considered to be his Father, Almighty God of the universe. Well, there's a tremendous lack of proportion, but we have to be grateful to a teacher like Master D.K. who instructs us in a book like The Cosmic Fire and The Rays and Initiations about what proportion really is. So, first steps on the way of the higher evolution. The Christ takes his first steps on the way of the higher evolution, and Jesus is not there yet. But now he is, as are all Chohans, because the Christ at that time was becoming a Chohan, and now a number of the, well, I can't think of any heads of the ashrams, or at least a number of them, they're all Chohans, maybe some are masters only, but Master Emma Chohan, Master K.H. Chohan, the Maha Chohan, of course. What about the third ray master, the Venetian? Is he a Chohan? Master Serapis a Chohan? It appears that the former St. Paul, now Master Hilarion, is a Chohan. Jesus is a Chohan. What about that unknown seventh ray master? Maybe to be the head of an entire ashram, you have to be a Chohan. I don't know if that has been explicitly stated, but that's what the Christ was doing at that time. And others followed in his wake. The practical point for aspirants and disciples is to remember is that the science of invocation and evocation entered a new phase when the Christ came and presented himself before humanity. Okay. He then gave the teaching which summarized all the past and indicated the new aspects of the future teaching. Some of this teaching may have been secrets of the KOH. What's the KOH? We can play a guessing game here. I bet you got it. Of the quote, Kingdom of Heaven. Okay, KOH. So the secrets of the Kingdom of Heaven. He opened the door to the way of higher evolution. What can we say for present humanity? Hitherto closed, just as the Buddha epitomized in himself the achievements of the lighted way. Well, we were told that the climax of this is at the fourth initiation. But the Buddha, of course, had already taken the fourth initiation because he had been the head of the spiritual hierarchy for 2,500 years. And then the Lord Maitreya took over around 500 BC. But still, in his way of expressing, he epitomized the lighted way and the attainment of all knowledge and wisdom, relative to our globe and chain, what of the scheme, PLS, that looks like a good one. And whoop, oh, that's planetary, that won't work. PLSC, we'll have to call it that. PLSC. And what will that mean to us? It will mean planetary scheme. Okay. So, and what of the PLC planetary scheme? Did the Buddha know all that too? As an initiate of the sixth degree, having taken his enlightenment there, I think a little bit before the Christ, touching the cosmic mental plane, and 500 years later, Maitreya the Christ touched the cosmic astral plane and took his sixth degree. Christ, in opening this great door beyond the lesser door, and just think of that, it's my usual problem, not getting a bracket. Even beyond mastership, mastership is called a door. Mastership is called a lesser door. But the Christ is opening the door, the sixth degree. Okay, let's do that one too. SXDG, sixth degree. The sixth degree opens the way to higher evolution. So the sixth degree opens the door to the higher evolution. I think we have to give people something to strive for, and so often they just think they're going to end up with one alternative, you know, either heaven or perhaps hell. Interesting that DK locates the average heaven of the believer and the average hell of the believer. He opens the location of those to us on the third subplane of the astral plane, the average heaven, and on the seventh, rather low, a subplane of the astral plane, the average hell, and neither of those is very high, really. Even the heaven is not very high. So the Christ is opening this greater door beyond the lesser door, and just because it says the word lesser, it doesn't mean it's not very high in comparison with us. Anchored, if I may so inadequately express it, he anchored the will of God on earth. So it's a phrase he frequently uses, but he still considers it inadequate, just the way he considers the term isolated unity inadequate, particularly in relation to the consciousness of men. So, you know, what really is God's will with respect to man? And here the Christ opened that for us, and the Tibetan reveals this. Obviously, the Tibetan really is a hierarchical revealer. And he had permission of Master K.H. and the Christ and also Senakumara to make the hierarchical revelations, which he has made. If we only had the wisdom of discrimination to realize the difference between the kind of material which he is presenting and sort of the average glamorous New Age presentations, which really don't lead anywhere. He lifted the entire science of invocation and evocation to the mental plane and made possible a new approach to divinity. So this is a very early an achievement. Which only now we are getting ready to begin. It is difficult to give you a symbol which would clarify this matter in your mind, but the one given may carry some enlightenment. Whoa, and then this fantastic diagram, you know. Now, how to show this in any way that... I mean, we could spend a long time on this diagram. So, but, you know, probably we will not do that. I don't know if I could even explain it. Well, we begin with the animal kingdom. I call these funnels of ascension. And they lead from a narrow life to a wider life, as a funnel does. Although maybe there are reverse funnels, which are like wizards' hats. But anyway, animal man is there waiting to be individualized and has to go through quite a process dealing with mother matter under the third ray generally of active intelligence and slowly opening the knowledge petals of the egoic lotus, excuse me, which take the longest time to open. And then, you know, that can take 21 million years or more. Maybe it takes 25 million years to reach the first initiation. So many have not reached it, and 21 million years have passed. But maybe things are accelerating now. The first initiation is there. It's kind of interesting, you know, that it's represented as an intake. And there are three lines there. It's not the Antikorana, but it is the way into the soul. And even the first initiation requires the way into the soul. The Antikorana is represented by the upright line from the initiate to the Christ. Okay, so this is more a triple kind of approach. Maybe one can think about it as the three aspects of the personality entering into a drastic purification for the second degree, where, you know, not only do we purify the astral body, you know, building upon the continued purification of the etheric physical form, but we enter a kind of a spiritual mentality, mental illumination, some degree of spiritual mentality. Yeah, I guess I'd call it that. There are other ways he describes it, but two things are required there at the second degree, and it does begin to illuminate the mind. Well, the Antikorana is apparently going all the way to the sixth initiation. Sometimes I have thought that it really goes to the fifth, and that the sun, as it were, absorbs Mercury at the fifth degree. The fourth initiation is a climax, which puts us in touch with the monad, and the Antikorana builds towards that, but is by no means dissipated at the fourth degree. As a matter of fact, it comes into its real usefulness there at the fourth degree, because the normal intermediary, the egoic lotus, what we normally call the soul, is destroyed at that point. So it has to continue, and the fifth initiation is a new point of intake, just the way kind of the first initiation is. But the real intake down here is the individualization of man. And then the fifth degree, which is the first degree on Sirius, is a new point of funneled intake, but the Antikorana continues all the way to the sixth degree. So I'm going to modify my ideas a little bit there, but it really has to go all the way to the monad if there's going to be the complete return of the pilgrim to its source. Kind of interesting that the fifth degree is not represented as one of the smaller circles. but as a great point of intake. Now, beyond, in the column on the left, hierarchy, we have soul, consciousness, and love, wisdom. But that pretty much has to occur at the fifth degree, and even at the third and fourth degree, we are cultivating this sense of hierarchy, but technically we are not there until the fifth degree. So the Antikarana makes its way all the way to the sixth initiation. The Christ is there as a very well-established sixth degree initiate and Chohan, but he's also a becoming Chohan of the seventh degree. And it takes some time to do that. Some of those very high initiations are spread out over time, whereas some of the earlier ones, like the time between the second and third and fourth, can take place very rapidly, and even, says the Tibetan on page 84 and 85 of Initiation Human and Solar, in the same life, which is almost unbelievable when you realize, you know, how hard it is to proceed, but the Tibetan is not just wasting his breath there, you know, so he's saying something true. So the sixth degree is part of that general intake, and then comes something quite interesting. We go to the Father's home, and the Lord of the world is there. It doesn't show us of what he's an emanation, but he is pretty much an emanation of the planetary logos. He is an extension of the planetary logos. Are his rays any different? Well, if he's an emanation, maybe the rays are the same, 1, 2, and 3. In the union of his second and third rays, his second ray soul and third ray personality, he's doing pretty much what all human beings have to do and what the planetary logos has to do, unite its soul and personality at this time. But the sixth degree initiate comes in touch in a new way with the seven ray lords. Now, these seven ray lords look like they are beyond the ones that are in Shambhala, but are actually the lords of the seven sacred planets. And as we tread the way of higher evolution, not necessarily going through the Lord of the World, there are other paths, we do go for training to different sacred planets in our solar system along certain ray lines, but the paths of the way of higher evolution are not necessarily ray paths, though there are for each of them certain tendencies, like we're told that on the ray path, number 5, masters of the first and second rays tend to tread that. And maybe on the way, on the path of the planetary logoi, maybe there's a preponderance of third ray masters. And I'm talking about monadic rays now. And then on the second path, oh goodness, what's it called? But anyway, this is the... well, anyway, fifth ray masters tend to tread this sensitive path. Maybe I can somehow make a shortcut here and kind of embarrassing to forget what that is, but I'll do my best here. So if I were to go over here and make this, and I want to say, okay, going to go into the rays initiations down here. And let's just see, we would call this, call this the path to Sirius. Okay, and that's the fourth path. And it's going to give me the second path. If I'm lucky enough here, F5. There it is. Okay, the one out of sight. Path of magnetic work. Oh, heavens. Okay, it's the path of magnetic work, and fifth ray masters tend to tread that path, and I imagine second ray masters also. So where am I? Why am I? Okay, video commentary. There we are. Okay, and, you know, so anyway, there are tendencies, even though these are not ray paths, and I suppose that a master on any monadic ray, because it is the monad which treads the path, and a master on any monadic ray could tread any path. There are proclivities, you know. Masters on the path of earth service tend to fight their way onto the path of the solar logo. I guess you'd need all kinds of rays there, because there are seven solar, major solar logoi in any particular system. And when it comes to the path of absolute sonship, there's some kind of, what does it mean, alchemicalization that goes on between the path of magnetic work, the second path, and that higher path, number seven. Then there are two more paths which seem to be summary in nature and maybe relate to Atlas and Pleione as the two parents of the Pleiades, and maybe all the other seven paths relate each one of them to a particular Pleiad of the major seven. But anyway, these seven rays do look like they come from the planets, and they are training places, I would think, for training places for those who go beyond the Earth and are preparing to move towards distant stars and constellations. But first they have to undergo some kind of work within our solar system to prepare them for that kind of journey. Well, you know, I haven't by any means expounded on this thing adequately, but, you know, there are seven representatives in each planet of the major seven ray planets, the sacred planets, and our Earth has the seven Kumaras, who are three esoteric and three exoteric, that represent them in a way. But then there's also the Ray Lords in Shambhala. Just on what level they are, we don't know. Maybe on the second subplane of the Logoic plane, because the Ray paths tend to connect with the second ray. In other words, astrology with the third ray, study of the rays with the second ray, and something else with the first ray. So anyway, this is very interesting, and it shows us the sort of being inhaled upwards towards ever greater possibilities with each funnel, but each funnel in a way becomes a smaller point of entry for a still greater funnel. And obviously this whole thing goes on and on, but DK has given us something that is sufficient to challenge our mind for a long, long time. Okay. Well, let's see where we are now. Okay. Well, we're at a point where I don't think I want to go on, because it's too complicated, and I don't like to break a paragraph. So this is going to be the end. We'll say the end of Rays and Initiation Webinar Commentary number 50, and this is pages, well, we've gotten to 526, I suppose, 521 to 526. And then we'll begin next time, beginning of Rays and Initiations Webinar Commentary number 51, from page 526. Well, actually, this is really to 525. We haven't really begun page 526 yet, have we? Or have we? Let's see. No, we haven't. And that's where we're going to begin next time. Whenever I have a chance, I try to steal every moment I can to comment on these things. Of course, it's a little bit of hubris thus to do, but, you know, when you're sitting in a study group and people have their opinions about what's being said and they exchange their ideas, that's all we're doing right now, except that I'm kind of leading a study group in which I'm for the time being, doing all the talking. So one day, you know, we can explore these things. I have in mind an intention to take certain big compilations and go, you know, everything DK said about the first initiation, the second, the third, so forth, not just what's found in this book, but everything he said, and then discuss the interrelationship of those particular paragraphs. So that's one of my goals, as long as I can excuse me, keep thinking and keep talking. And this leads us now to the conclusion. So, and I hope, you know, friends, that, you know, you're getting something out of it. And like I say, I'm very, very grateful to a student of the teaching who has volunteered, perhaps not knowing what she got herself into, to transcribe these works. My books, my book on the, what is it? It's on the Egoic Lotus. It's a very, you know, big thing. And she's working on that, and she's working on the different sections from the old commentary and from Cosmic Fire, and now on the second part of the Rays and Initiation. So we're going to be very grateful as those transcriptions begin to appear. I have to edit them, or maybe I don't. Maybe I just let it go, and you take out of it what you may be able to take out of it. All right, that's it for this one. And on to number 51, when the time allows. Right now is a glamour webinar coming up, and I think we're going to take maybe the glamour of egotism, important one at this present time in the world situation. See you then. Bye.